Welcome to session number 17 in our seminar on Christian decision making. Now, in this session, Lord willing, we will cover two more biblical guidelines for making good and right decisions. Number 20, or T, God leads different believers in different ways. And number 21, or U, God leads in different ways at different times. Let's start with number 20. God leads different believers in different ways. The reason why this biblical guideline is important to keep in mind in Christian decision-making is because there is a tendency for us to think that if we are in a similar situation to that of another believer, and we see the Lord guide them in a particular way, then that must be the way He will guide us. Not necessarily. For example, let's say two evangelical Christian families move into the same town and are going through the decision-making process of choosing a home church. Both families are praying for God's will and what church would be best for their respective families. For any number of reasons, God may lead one family to one evangelical church in town and lead the other family to a different evangelical church in town. Why? Well, we don't know all the reasons. Different families have different needs. Different churches have different needs that different families can meet. The point is that God leads different believers in different ways. Now, for our first biblical example, let's turn to John chapter 21. Here we have the account of the restoration and recommissioning of Peter. I'm reading from John chapter 21. Beginning at verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, therefore, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." This saying, therefore, went out among the brethren, that disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" From John chapter 21, verses 15 through 23. In this wonderful account of Peter's restoration, after his three denials of the Lord, we see that Peter also wanted to know about John, the Apostle John. After the Lord had revealed to Peter that he would die as a martyr, Peter looked at John and asked the Lord, verse 21, "And what about this man?" Pointing to John. Notice the Lord's answer in verse 22. Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." In other words, I lead different believers in different ways. And quite a difference. When we look at these two apostles, the Lord led both of these apostles in further service, and they both wrote books of the New Testament, but their paths were very different. Reliable tradition indicates that Peter died as a martyr, being crucified upside down. John died as an old man of natural causes in Ephesus, after having been exiled to the island of Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation. Quite a difference in the way God led these two different apostles. You see the principle? God leads different believers in different ways. Illustration. Back in the days when Emmaus Bible School was in the Chicago area, I led an early Monday morning men's Bible study at a local restaurant before going over to the school to teach my classes. One of the men in the Bible study was a converted Catholic and was really on fire for the Lord, hungry for the Word, and witnessing to everybody in his business and to all of his contacts. There was only one problem to my way of thinking. He was still in the Catholic Church, and he was convinced that the Lord wanted him to stay there as a missionary. Well, I just assumed that the Lord was going to lead him out to one of the evangelical churches in town. But Steve told me that he and his wife were being fed at local Bible studies, and he was sending his kids to an evangelical Christian school in town, and they were staying in the Catholic Church as missionaries. Well, a few weeks later, I asked Steve how the missionary work was going at the Catholic Church, and he told me that he had run into an obstacle. Oh, really? How so? Well, Steve wanted to start a Bible study at the church, at the Catholic Church, but he said the priest, who was not a true believer, said, no, you can't start a Bible study here. Well, Steve, what are you going to do about it? I assumed that he was going to tell me that he was leaving the Catholic Church and was going to ask me for my suggestion of a good church in town for him and his family. After all, isn't that the way the Lord would lead every believer? But no, said Steve. He was going to pray the unbelieving priest out of that Catholic Church and pray that the Lord would bring in a new priest who would be a true believer. Well, guess what? About a month later, it happened. And the new priest was a true believer and approved the Bible study. So Steve went around the church and put up notices on all the bulletin boards about the coming Bible study. So how many people do you think showed up for Steve's first Bible study at St. Luke's Catholic Church in River Forest, Illinois? Over 200 people. Unbelievable. Praise the Lord. Well, needless to say, at this point, I backed off my crusade to get Steve out of the Catholic Church and realized that God was doing something here bigger than my limited way of thinking. And I definitely learned then that God leads different believers in different ways. By the way, that Bible study continues to this day, and Steve has personally led many souls to Christ. Steve Zoller and his family, a shining testimony for the Lord in the communities of Oak Park and River Forest, Illinois. Let's take another biblical example, this time from the Old Testament. Turn to Genesis chapter 26. Here we have the account of Isaac going to the land of the Philistines during a time of famine, but then told by the Lord not to go down to Egypt. I'm reading from Genesis chapter 26, the first three verses. Now, there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give all of these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. From Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 through 3. Notice that the Lord gave Isaac clear guidance for his decision-making in verse 2. Do not go down to Egypt. Now turn over to Genesis chapter 46. This is the account of Jacob coming to meet Joseph in Egypt and then live in the land of Egypt. I'm reading from Genesis chapter 46, beginning with verse 1. So Israel, or Jacob, set out with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here I am. And he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will close your eyes. Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their livestock and their property, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and came to Egypt, Jacob and all his descendants with him, his sons and his grandsons with him, his daughters and his granddaughters, and all his descendants he brought with him to Egypt. From Genesis chapter 46, verses 1 through 7. Notice that in this case, the Lord gave Jacob clear guidance in his decision-making and told him to go to Egypt. So to Isaac, the Lord clearly said, don't go to Egypt. And to Jacob, the Lord said, go to Egypt. God leads different believers in different ways. Now, in these two different cases of Isaac and Jacob, we can see some of the reasons why. If Isaac went to Egypt, it would be an indication that Isaac was not fully trusting the Lord. But Jacob going to Egypt was different. God was going to forge the nation of Israel there in Egypt in the crucible of slavery and then bring them out as a redeemed people. So now we have the benefit of prophecy and hindsight to see why God led these two different believers in different ways. But such is not always the case. God leads different believers in different ways. Illustration. Back in high school, I had a good friend about my age, and we're still good friends. We have a lot of similarities, but God has led us in two distinctly different ways. We were both part of the same youth group of the same church. We both went on from high school to become engineers. We both married about the same time and had families about the same time. We both love the Lord and enjoy teaching and preaching God's word. But the Lord has led us in our decision-making along two different paths. Doug and his wife Ruth, who I will see this evening, have stayed in the same location at the same home church throughout the years. The Lord has led them this way. Doug is one of the church leaders, and he and his wife Ruth are hard workers and have been very effective for the Lord over the years in that church and with the people of that church and people associated with that church. Margie and I, on the other hand, have moved about 15 times since we've been married, and we've been involved in a number of different churches and different ministries. And every move, we believe, was directed by the Lord as we always went through a decision-making process using the seven C's and the biblical guidelines. So why the difference? Similar backgrounds, similar careers at first, similar desires to serve the Lord, but then two distinctly different paths. Answer, God leads different believers in different ways. So keep this biblical guideline in mind when making major decisions, because there's always a tendency for us to look around at other believers in similar situations and think that either they're making the right decision and we're making the wrong decision, or that we're making the right decision and they're not making the right decision. The truth is that God leads different believers in different ways. Our next biblical guideline is number 21, or you. God leads in different ways at different times. God leads in different ways at different times. Now, at first, this biblical guideline might seem like it's just a different way to state our previous guideline. God leads different believers in different ways. But this guideline is different. The emphasis in this guideline has to do with similar situations or circumstances that you may find yourself in from time to time in your Christian life. Don't expect the Lord necessarily to lead you in the same way every time you have a similar situation or circumstance. He may, but on the other hand, he may sovereignly choose to lead you to a different decision in your decision-making process. God leads in different ways at different times. Now, for our first example from Scripture, look at 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Here's where King David, early in his reign over all of Israel, defeats the Philistines. I'm reading from 2 Samuel chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek out David, and when David heard of it, he went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines came and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. Then David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Wilt thou give them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand. So David came to Baal-perazim and defeated them there. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breakthrough of waters." Therefore, he named that place Baal Perazim. And they abandoned their idols there. So David and his men carried them away. Now the Philistines came up once again and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. When David inquired of the Lord, he said, "You shall not go directly up. Circle around behind them and come at them in front of the balsam trees. And it shall be, when you hear the sound of marchings in the tops of the balsam trees, then you shall act promptly. For then the Lord will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines." Then David did so, just as the Lord had commanded him, and struck down the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer. From 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 17 through 25. Did you see our biblical guideline emerge through this passage of Scripture? That God leads in different ways at different times. In situation number one, we see the Philistines came up against the army of Israel, verse 18, and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. The Lord directed David to attack the Philistines with a frontal attack and gave Israel the victory. In situation number two, the Philistines came up against Israel the same way as they did the first time. Verse 22. Now the Philistines came up once again and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. Notice, two very similar situations. So you might think that the Lord would direct David and the Israeli troops in a similar way. But no, it is completely different. In situation number one, it was a frontal attack. In situation number two, it was circling around behind the Philistines and attacking them in front of the balsam trees when they heard the supernatural divine signal of marching in the tops of the balsam trees. Wow, what a difference. Similar situations, but totally different directions from the Lord in each case. Why? We don't know all the reasons, but this we do know from what is taught here. God leads in different ways at different times. Everybody follow the biblical guideline here? Illustration. Some of you know that after I left secular employment and before I went on to seminary, I worked with the Young Life Ministry for a couple of years. Young Life is a ministry directed towards high school teenagers, and it not only involves weekly club meetings, but frequent summer and winter retreats. Evening retreat sessions typically followed the club meeting format: music and singing, skits and laughs, and then the talk. It's a proven good format, and there's a reason for it. The music and laughs bring the group together and tend to subdue any friction or hostilities in the group and prepare the group for the more serious talk. Well, one winter, we ran a ski retreat out of Cincinnati to the Young Life camp at Saranac Lake in New York State. I was the leader. Following the typical Young Life format, after the first day skiing, their first evening session was scheduled for after cleanup from dinner that evening in the living room of the lodge by a big fire in the fireplace. Everything was set for a great evening. But things did not go as planned. Everyone was so tired out from skiing during the day that no one wanted to sing, no one wanted to laugh at the skits, and no one wanted to listen to my talk. Everyone just wanted to go to sleep, and the big hot fire didn't help. So after that first session, I was very discouraged. Later that night, I went outside by myself and walked in the snow and prayed. All of a sudden, it came to me that you don't have to always follow the same format. God leads in different ways at different times. Why not change the format? Give your talk at the dinner table before everyone wanders off and falls asleep. So the next day, I told the kids to bring their Bibles to supper that evening. After the evening meal was over, before the work crew cleaned up, and before the fun and games, we just pushed the dirty dishes back and had our Bible study and prayer right there. After that, the kids had an option. They could come into the living room around the fire for singing and skits, or they could go to bed early and get a good night's rest. It was a wonderful evening, and we used that same format for the rest of the week, and it worked great. Some kids even got saved, and many grew in the Lord. Good Bible studies, but it was a totally different format. God leads in different ways at different times. Let's take another example from Scripture. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 19. This is the account of the Assyrians attacking Jerusalem at the time of good King Hezekiah, about 700 BC. Isaiah was God's prophet during this time period. Sennacherib of the Assyrians had sent King Hezekiah a threatening letter. Surrender or else we'll destroy you like we have done to the other cities in Israel. Listen to the word of the Lord to Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah. I'm reading from 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 5 through 7. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, "Thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words that you have heard with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him so that he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will make him fall by the sword in his own land." From 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 5 through 7. So Judah was not to surrender. Even though Jerusalem was surrounded by the Assyrian armies, and it looked like all hope was gone, the word of the Lord was, "Don't give up. Don't surrender. I will deliver Jerusalem." Skip down now to verse 35, where we read about God's deliverance of Judah with one of the great miracles of the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 19, beginning now with verse 35. Then it happened that night that the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men rose early in the morning, behold, all of them were dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived at Nineveh. From 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 35 and 36. So the Lord gave specific guidance to King Hezekiah, and it was, don't surrender to the Assyrians. Now turn to Jeremiah chapter 21. This is now more than 100 years later, and a similar situation. That is, Jerusalem is under siege and threatened. At this time, it was the Babylonian armies under Nebuchadnezzar that was surrounding Jerusalem. And Jeremiah is the Lord's prophet. Zedekiah is the king of Judah at this time. But it is a very similar situation to what you had a little more than 100 years before when the Assyrians surrounded and besieged Jerusalem and when Isaiah was God's prophet. So you might think that the word of the Lord through Jeremiah would be the same. Don't surrender Jerusalem. I will deliver Jerusalem. But such is not the case. Let's read the account in Jeremiah chapter 21, beginning with verse 3. Then Jeremiah said to them, "You shall say to Zedekiah as follows, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am about to turn back the weapons of war which are in your hands, with which you are warring against the king of Babylon and the Chaldeans who are besieging you outside the wall. And I shall gather them into the center of the city. And I myself shall war against you with an outstretched hand and a mighty arm, even in anger and wrath and great indignation. I shall also strike down the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They will die of a great pestilence. Then afterwards, declares the Lord, I will give over Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants, and the people, even those who survive in this city from the pestilence, the sword, and the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their foes, and into the hand of those who seek their lives. And he will strike them down with the edge of the sword. He will not spare them, nor have pity, nor compassion. You shall also say to this people, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He who dwells in this city will die by the sword and by famine and by pestilence. But he who goes out and falls away to the Chaldeans who are besieging you will live, and he will have his own life as booty. For I have set my face against this city for harm and not for good, declares the Lord. It will be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he will burn it with fire." From Jeremiah chapter 21, verses 3 through 10. So let me ask you, in the context here, what is the way of life and the way of death in verse 8? The way of life was to surrender to the Babylonians. The way of death was to continue fighting and not surrender Jerusalem. Wow, quite a difference than when Jerusalem was under attack by the Assyrians, and when Hezekiah was king, and when Isaiah was prophet. Similar situations, but God's guidance was completely different. God leads in different ways at different times. The time had come for rebellious Judah to be disciplined with 70 years of captivity in Babylon. So God has reasons why he leads in different ways at different times. We may not know all the reasons, but it is a biblical guideline to keep in mind in your decision-making process. God leads in different ways at different times. Illustration. A number of you here this morning have traveled with us to the Middle East, including Israel, Egypt, and Jordan. As you know, the Middle East is not the safest place to travel. So we always go through a decision-making process before we put a tour together, and we pray for the Lord's guidance. We've run more than 20 tours now, and only 3 times have we decided not to go, and this year is one of those times. As you know, we have decided to go to Rome in northern Italy this coming year, but not to Israel. Why not? Tours are still going to Israel. Travel is still as safe as it was in other years. In fact, Israel had one of its biggest tour years in history this past year. And we've had lots of requests from potential tourists to go to Israel this coming year, at least 10, and that number is good enough for a tour, and we know that there would be more. So everything is similar this year to previous years. But after a decision-making process involving prayer for the Lord's specific guidance, I'm convinced the Lord is not leading us to run a Holy Land tour this coming year, as in previous years. Maybe next year we'll go back to Israel. We will look to the Lord for guidance and keep this biblical guideline in mind. God leads in different ways at different times, and we don't always know all the reasons why. Now, in our next session together, we will take up another important biblical guideline for making right decisions.